Jody Jenkins, the golf guy, all part of the Golf Radio Network, and it is Masters Weekend. And since it is Masters Weekend, a special time in the world of golf because it signifies the first major, and typically it signifies the beginning of the golf season here in Ontario. Joining us on the program, we brought in John Skinner, and you might say, well, why is this guy on the show? It's very simple. He was at the Masters event last year for 2006, which eventually saw Phil Mickelson get the green jacket. And John, thanks for joining us on the program. I know you got some great insight and some great stories.
Thank you very much, Jody. I'm glad to be here.
Now, you are an avid golfer, spend a lot of time in Ontario and abroad golfing. Tell us a little bit about how this trip to Augusta actually became reality.
Well, it all came about through my nephew in Vancouver. And what happened is he's got a friend who lives in Calgary, and her uncle happens to be a member of Augusta National Golf Club, one of only 300.
So he's in a very elite organization, a very elite crew.
He's in a very tight group of old men that belong to Augusta.
So you guys get the opportunity to go to Augusta. What's the next step? You round up some people and you guys head down there?
Well, what it was myself, my son, my brother, and his son, who live in Vancouver, and we met in Atlanta on the Tuesday prior to the Masters, and from there headed to Augusta, Georgia.
John Skinner, our guest on the program. It is Masters Weekend, and John was lucky enough to be a part of Masters 2006. And John, set up the scene for us. I think a lot of people watch it on TV, and it's not quite the same. Although it is breathtaking, it's beautiful, it's impressive. Actually being there is something totally different. You get to Augusta, you get to the Masters event. Set the scene for us. What do you see? What are your experiences?
Well, I think the first thing is that when you drive into Augusta and you work your way towards the golf course, you're tuned into a radio station in Augusta that's telling you where to go and where to park. The interesting thing is that all the parking at Augusta is free. You don't pay. It's not like going to the Canadian Open where you got to pay to park and jump on a school bus. When you park, you are right there at the gates. So that was pretty cool.
Now, what's your next step? I mean, you get there, you park. I mean, there must be so many things going through your mind. Where do you head first? I mean, there's opportunities, obviously, to go not everywhere, but most places on the facility.
No, actually, there isn't.
Okay.
what happens is once you get into the parking lot, you work your way towards the gates, and then you go through the security screening. You go through the metal detectors just like at the airport. Then after you're through the metal detectors and you've emptied all your pockets, you've got the guy with the wand wanting you to make sure that you're not bringing anything illegal onto the grounds. Now, we were there on the Wednesday, and we were allowed to bring our cameras, but no signs, no large backpacks, and it was pretty interesting.
So you're there for the Wednesday, the practice round, and this is what I thought was very interesting. Photographs, pictures from the galleries only allowed on the Wednesday. No photos, no cameras or anything on the other days.
No other day. Only on the practice days can you take cameras in.
And they're very strict with their policies and procedures, too.
Strict, very strict. In fact, they're so strict that the cameramen are not allowed on the fairways. Everyone has to stay outside the ropes. Even the players' coaches cannot walk with them.
So even Dave Peltz can't walk with Phil Mickelson?
None of the coaches. Peltz, Butch Harmon, none of them can walk inside the ropes.
Isn't that something? John Skinner, our guest on the program. We're discussing the Masters, of course, this year's event taking place as we speak. And John was fortunate enough to be at last year's event in Augusta, Georgia. John, you saw the par 3 contest. You followed some groups around. Anything that stuck out in your head last year?
Well, we'll talk about the par 3 contest, and that was pretty cool because I never realized how many people were actually there, and they estimated over 100,000 people in an area where there's only 9 holes, and that's located in behind the 18th green, and that 9-hole golf course was built for Dwight Eisenhower because, so the story goes, is that he couldn't walk the full course at Augusta, so they built him his own 9-hole golf course.
Impressive. That's something I need.
That's what I need, too.
Now, John, tell us a little bit about the manicuring of the course. I know prior to this interview off-air, we were discussing the amount of vehicles that come out in between the people coming on and off the course and the tractors and raking the bunkers. What's it actually like? It seems so perfect on TV.
Well, it is perfect, and I think that was the one thing that struck us when we walked in through the gate area where we came in. We actually ended up at the 13th green, and they were actually on the green with the stemp meters because it was like at about 7 o'clock in the morning when we arrived. And the color and the condition of the golf course was like nothing I've ever seen before. I mean, I've been to many Canadian Opens, but Augusta is everything that people say it is. And even the crosswalks, the bunkers, it is just absolutely amazing.
And can you describe the greens? What did they actually look like when you? I know you couldn't get as close as you wanted, but what did they look like as opposed to seeing them on TV?
So much undulation. That was the thing that struck me. On TV, they may look flat, but there is all kinds of movement on those greens.
And did the guys in the practice round, they obviously were taking a lot of practice putts and getting reads and stuff?
No, they were taking a lot of practice putts, and they were hitting 2 and 3 balls off the fairways, hitting out of sand traps 2 or 3 times. That's what was going on in the practice area.
And what was the interaction like? I know I was looking at, you have a nice photo album there. You got some great pictures of some of the pros. Did the guys talk to you? Were they focused on playing their game, practicing, or were they pretty friendly?
I wouldn't say they were friendly. I mean, there were a few that stuck out. Mark O'Meara was really good. We were up close and personal with him and Tiger Woods because they always play together in the practice rounds. But overall, you really didn't have the opportunity to get that closer to talk to them. And they are very strict at Augusta that you cannot ask for autographs unless the players are leaving the practice area back into the clubhouse.
That's Did you get any autographs?
Got no autographs at all.
Did you want mine before this interview's over?
Oh, yeah, I'd love yours.
Okay, tell us a little bit about elevation changes. Again, we talked about the undulation that might not be noticeable on TV. I'm sure elevation, it's the same way.
Well, I'll go to the first tee because when you stand on the first tee and it slopes down into a valley and then straight up to the first green, and you watch that on TV and you have absolutely no idea how much change there is on that hole. On number 2, it's a downhill. And there again, it's like the difference between the top of the Statue of Liberty down to the base of the Statue of Liberty. It is that undulating how fast that slopes down. Number 10 is the same way. Number 8 is an uphill. And those are the things that I just couldn't get over, how much elevation change there was on that golf course.
And what was Amen Corner like?
Amen Corner was, like, unbelievable. And we sat there behind the 12th green, and because from there you can see number 11 green, and then you can watch them play the par 3 and see them tee off on number 13. And it's just an amazing sight. You could spend the whole day just sitting right there.
I don't like to brag, but at Wooden Sticks, obviously they have a replica of Amen Corner. I went par, par, par over those 3 holes. I don't know if anybody else here has done that.
No, I haven't done that.
John Skinner, our guest, we're discussing the Masters, which is going on this morning, and we appreciate you for locking into the program. You can find us online at jjthegolfguy.com. The practice round, you had a chance to follow some of the big names. Tell us who you were able to watch.
We were able to watch Crenshaw, Singh, Garcia, Freddie Couples, Phil, of course, Tiger, and Mark O'Meara, Luke Donald, Adam Scott, John Daly. I'm a huge John Daly fan. And we spent some time with John at his Hooters. And, we were just trying to cover so much ground, especially on that practice day when we had our cameras. But I do have to tell you about the 16th. The 16th is famous on practice day, the short par 3 where they skip the balls across the water. And we stood behind the green, and almost every group that came through, after they hit their first tee shot, then they moved up to the front box and skipped them across the green. And it was just unbelievable to be there and see them do that.
Did anyone put one tight after skipping it off the water?
No, but you know, a lot of them did hit the green after skipping it off the water.
John Skinner was at the 2006 Masters, and he's joining us on the program. And we thank him for his time, because it certainly means a lot to us. I know you're a busy man. Food. I mean, they're famous for a specific sandwich down there at the Masters in Augusta. Tell us a little bit about what your thoughts were on the food.
Well, I got to tell you, this. I talked to someone a year ago before I went, and he said, you know, it may be expensive to go to the Masters and stay, but once you get inside the gates, the food, the drinks, They're so reasonably priced. It was amazing. The pimento sandwich, yeah, which is that famous pimento cheese sandwich, is $1.50.
Wow.
You can buy a beer for $2. You can buy a pop for $1. A chicken on a bun for $2.50. And the cool thing was, everything's served in green. Nothing is labeled. So you're not buying a Pepsi or a Coke or a Labatt's or a Budweiser. Everything is in a Master's cup, or it's wrapped in green. And that is so typical of what the Masters is all about.
And what about the other people that were there? Did you get a chance to meet people from around the world? Or
That's a good question, Jody, because the thing is that everyone who was there has basically been given a ticket from a patron. And there have been no tickets available to the Masters since 1973.
Oh, really?
No tickets are available, and they don't foresee that they'll ever open it up again.
Wow.
To ticket sales. So what happens is that you're there, and we were there as a guest, someone who's a member who gave us the tickets. So you have to be very careful on what you do and how you act, because you wouldn't want to get that badge removed, because you don't own that badge. The person who, original owner, he's the guy who's the member. So, but I met a lot of people from all over North America. I met a lot of people from Canada, surprisingly, who were there the same way we were, that somebody gave them a ticket, they were able to go, and pretty appreciative of the opportunity to go, because it's not your ordinary golf tournament.
And talking about Canada, Mike Weir, Stephen Ames, both at the event last year. Was there a lot of people following them, and what were their reactions, or what was the reaction from the crowds to them?
Well, the reaction to Mike Weir was pretty strong. Obviously, being a past champion at the Masters. Stephen Ames, I wouldn't say a lot of people were interested in Stephen Ames. He wears those funny white shoes. I know that you don't like, Jody.
Yeah, I don't.
And but no, I wouldn't say there was a big reaction to the Canadian players.
Excellent. John Skinner, our guest on the program, and he was lucky enough to attend last year's Masters, and of course we're getting set for the final day tomorrow of this year's event. And John, any finishing thoughts on your overall experience? Obviously you'd recommend it if it had never happened, obviously.
If anyone ever has the opportunity, and I understand there are tickets available that you go into a lottery system to go just for the practice rounds. I don't know whether I'd want to go just for one day, but I guess if you have the opportunity to go, it's something that you would probably never, ever get to do again. Certainly well worth the trip. Take a deep pocketbook. We stayed at the Best Western in Augusta, and we were paying $395 a night U.S., and I asked the people who owned the hotel what their rate was the week after, and it was $61. So...
Wow.
But anyway, aside from the money thing, is something you probably only get to do once in a lifetime, if ever. And yeah, it was one of the greatest experiences of my life.
Excellent. And John, one little story to wrap up, because we've had our battles in the past. We'll move away from the Masters for a second, but number 12 at Trillium Wood, I can remember during match play, and John and I came up to that tee, and I think I was just a couple down, and it was 171 yards, I think, playing from the blues. And, well, tell our listeners what you proceeded to beat me on that hole with. What was your club from 171 yards?
Well, actually, before I tell them that, I was actually down six with six holes to play in this match play tournament. And I did rally back to time at the end of 18, and then we went on to the playoff. But that 172-yard drive I hit with my driver was probably one of the best shots I've ever hit in my life.
And he's not lying. He used a driver. It was a King Cobra. And you still have that club?
No, I don't. I now have a TaylorMade.
Oh, do you have a TaylorMade? What else you got in the bag?
TaylorMade R7 irons, brand new.
Oh, excellent. And your putter?
Is a Titleist Futura.
And are you still, like, regarded as... You wear a lot of black still, the Gary Player of the golf course?
I'm now in the black and white.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you moved onward and upward. John Skinner, always a pleasure. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to go to some other big events so we can have you back on the show, will you?
Yeah, I'll try to. Thanks a lot, Jody.
Pinnacle Music Studios is Southeastern Ontario's authorized Yamaha piano dealer. We carry the finest crafted instruments from digital pianos to the world-renowned Yamaha grand pianos. So whether you're a concert-level artist needing a large grand piano or a beginner just starting out, we have a Yamaha instrument to meet your needs and your budget. With over a century of piano manufacturing experience and innovation, Yamaha pianos are the premier choice of concert venues, music schools, professional musicians, and music enthusiasts around the world. Play a Yamaha today at Pinnacle Music Studios, downtown Belleville.
Take a listen to this line from MicroAge President Tom Fleming. When you deal with MicroAge, we take all the worry and problems out of your computer systems. Isn't that a relief? I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes dealing with computers can be frustrating work, but not when you put it in the hands of MicroAge. They cover it all, from computer sales to IT consulting, right through to project management. Their approach is to deal with you and meet your exact needs. They want you to succeed, and they will use their energy and talent to make sure you get there. MicroAge has been in business since 1984, specializing in bringing IT solutions to the business community with the best and accredited professionals in the region. MicroAge in Belleville and Kingston. Computer solutions have never been so clear.
Brent has a hard time with anything that isn't sports.
What's the score? I can't tell. Who's winning?
Brent, it's Shakespeare in the Park. Nobody wins.
You got that right.
That's why Brent likes it at Boston Pizza. Because he can relax, watch whatever game, and always get exactly what's going on. Unlike some other places.
Offside! Totally offside!
The word is objection, Mr. Hawes.
Right, objection. What'd I say?
Boston Pizza. You're among friends.